This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the preview show brought to you by the Known and Never podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bromley, and I am joined as ever by the main man himself, the host, and well, not the host, actually, I think I'm the host, the main man, the king of the preview show. It is, of course, Dave Statman. Robert, Dave, how are you?
I'd have been better if we could have got a win on Saturday.
We did a separate analysis show this week because we managed to get time in to put a show out. And everybody just feels a little bit flat. We had that slight false hope that with points deductions and results going our way that we might only be a point behind, but all has not gone well, has it? And we are all but down now, I think.
Looks a bit that way, yes.
I don't think I can even be bothered to categorise anything as a must-win game anymore, Dave, because I'm just like, it doesn't really matter. We're going down. It's fine. It's a pretty scathing... Well, I guess a scathing note of this season that if Everton hadn't had the points deductions that they'd had, would be 16 points behind them and something like 11 behind Forest. And they're two really bad sides. We are appalling. And Luton are potentially going to be the ones that stay up despite us finishing miles ahead of them last season. So, yeah, not good. But despite all of that, Dave, we do still have a job to do. We do need to... prepare our listeners, our loyal listeners who will, like us, will continue to support the Clarets through thick and thin, who will be there for the rest of the season. They've got some stats that they want to know about because, of course, we do have a new game, another weekend. It's Brighton and Hove Albion at home on Saturday, the 13th of April, 3 p.m. kickoff, not televised anywhere in the UK. Why don't we kick off this preview show, Dave, with your match results summary?
Yes, it wasn't until the early 1970s that we played Brighton in a league match, although we did face them in the FA Cup fourth round. That was in the early 1960s when we got past them with the help of a replay. In terms of our home league games, we have won 6, drawn 7 and lost 5. These matches have produced a total of 40 goals, with Burnley scoring 23 and conceding 17. All of our first 13 seasons together were in the second or third tier, but more recently, the previous 5 seasons we've met, plus the current campaign, have been in the top flight. Burnley have only won 1 of the previous 5 Premier League meetings at Turf Moor, drawing 2 and losing the other 2. So we'll be hoping to improve on that record this weekend.
Lol, we won't, but we'll be hoping to, Dave. We're always hopeful. We've been hopeful all of the time this season. Well, let's move on into our second feature, which is, of course, our one to remember and one to forget. We look once more back at a couple of memorable matches in this feature, starting with one to forget.
Yeah, we're going to go back to the 1992-93 season, which was Burnley's first campaign back in the third tier, after suffering with 7 seasons in the basement division, before finally winning promotion from the fourth division as champions in 1992. By April 1993, Jimmy Mullen's Clarets had 6 games remaining and were comfortably in mid-table, with no threat of relegation and no hope of making the playoffs. Brighton, meanwhile, still had aspirations of the playoffs as they made their way to Turf Moor. It was a player who's now well known to Burnley fans who opened the scoring for the visitors. Kurt Nogan gave them the lead in the 9th minute before Mike Conroy levelled it at 1-1 just before the half-hour mark. But 2 minutes after that, Nogan netted again, this time with a header, to restore the visitors' lead. There was no further score until half-time, and Brighton retained their lead and extended it further in the 81st minute through Mark Farrington, who sealed a 3-1 win for the Seagulls. Although they took the 3 points from this match, they missed out on the playoffs, and it was Burnley who won promotion the following season via the playoffs, as we know.
Indeed. What about our one to remember then, Dave? Let's finish on a high as we normally do.
Yep, that was from December 2018, sort of a high. We'll come clear when I go through the rest of it. It had been an extremely tough start to this particular Premier League campaign, with the added stress of the Europa League qualifying stages seeming to have a detrimental effect on a squad that wasn't really geared up for competing in on a domestic and continental front. However, one bright moment in the first half of that season, and just one of three league wins before Christmas, was for the visit of Brighton Hove Albion to Turf Moor. It wasn't a classic by any means, and it took a single goal to win it in the end. The goal came 5 minutes before half-time and was hardly what you might call a classic. From Ashley Westwood's right-wing cross, Ben Mee's header eventually fell to Jack Cork, whose shot went in off the midriff of James Tarkowski. But what we didn't seem to be able to do in much of the rest of the first half that season, and we kept a clean sheet to ensure a 1-0 win and three very valuable points. It got worse before it got better. A heavy 5-1 home defeat to Everton on Boxing Day left us with just 12 points in the first half of the season. But a spirited second half of the campaign, with 8 more wins, including a 3-1 away win at Brighton to do the double over them, and in the end, we survived reasonably comfortably, when many people, including quite a lot of Burnley fans, had written off our chances after the Everton loss.
Yeah, and well, indeed. Oh, do you know, looking back at that game, Dave, remember those good old days when we used to be able to defend, when we had clean sheets? Those are the good old days, weren't they?
Well, as I say, there weren't too many clean sheets the first half of that season, but we had quite a few the second half, and that's what helped turn it around, I think.
Yeah, true. Okay, Dave, referee details, please.
Okay, whisper it very quietly, but Burnley actually have quite a good record when Simon Hooper of Swindon takes charge of our matches. There have been two defeats, both away from Turf Moor, in 14 matches since 2011, with 8 wins and 4 draws. Two of those draws have been in previous matches against Brighton. They were a 1-1 draw at Turf Moor, that was in November 2015, as well as this season's reverse fixture from December, which was also a 1-1 draw. That's the only time we've seen Simon Hooper in the middle so far this season. 7 Burnley players, as we know, have been sent off so far in 2023-24, as well as manager Vincent Kompany, who celebrated his 38th birthday on Wednesday of this week. Although we don't really want too many more cards from referees in the final 6 games of this season. Thankfully, Simon Hooper has yet to get his red card out in any of his previous 14 Burnley matches. Helping out with a video replay technology this weekend, or not, depending on how things go, will be Robert Jones. He was also the video assistant referee earlier this season for our trips to Wolves and Manchester City.
Well, you've only gone and jinxed us there, young Dave. Jinxed us, I tell you. I mean, we're kind of running out of ways to try and find some optimism or positives this season, Dave. I mean, it's a home fixture. Brighton really haven't got anything to play for. We've not really got anything to play for because we're going to go down. It feels a little bit like company's given up. It feels a little bit like the players have given up. The fans gave up about Christmas time. What can we all do to try and get some modicum of enjoyment from this game at the weekend? And do we have any chance of winning, I guess?
I think we do. I think game by game, you always have a chance of winning. I think what the issue this season has been no consistency. Until the little run we had recently, we haven't managed to sort of string even 2 results together, had we, prior to that little run of 3 draws and a win. And that's been part of the issue. We've looked like far too often that we've gone into games and just not going to get anything out of them at all. I think we've had our fair share of poor refereeing decisions, which haven't helped. We should have beaten Luton if it wasn't for a bad decision at the end of that game. There's been one or two other matches where referee decisions haven't really helped us, but we can't, across a season, you can't use that as an excuse. And it's been one of the seasons where it's just not been good enough. I think it's a case of we've had players coming in, too many players coming in, not gelling, not enough experience in the team. And although we've seen some more positive green shoots more recently, there hasn't been enough consistency across the season, and that's what's done for us, basically.
Yeah. You'll be pleased to know that I'm never going to ask you again at any point this season whether there's a must-win game, because there are none anymore. So at least you've been off the hook with that. So I guess I question now whether or not companies should be turning his attention to next season and starting to think about what players are likely to stay, what players are going to form the core of his championship winning side. Does he maybe start playing those and playing them in their proper positions? I mean, the nonsense at the weekend, which we talked about in the analysis show, of having our centre forward playing on the wing and then Wilson Odegaard, who excels on the wing, playing up front, was just, I don't get it. I just don't. So stop trying to play square pegs in round holes and start putting players in there positions that they excel in and do well in and are likely to hold as their own next season. Is that a bit defeatist of me, or is that a strategy that we should be genuinely thinking about taking, Dave?
I'm sure there's a mindset somewhere that says if by some miracle we managed to get six wins in the last six games, then we could still stay up. So that's kind of still got to be there from a managerial perspective. You can't throw in the towel as a manager at this stage. But having said that, it's looking very unlikely. We know the odds are stacked against us.
98% chance we go down.
Yeah, well, it's been in the low 90s for a while. Obviously, it's gone up with last weekend's result, even with Everton's points deduction.
Yeah.
The other results going as they did. So it's, you have to face the reality from that point of view. But all you can do is go into the next game and try and win it. It is a winnable game. Brighton are a tough side. They're all tough games in the Premier League. And they'll be coming to Burnley thinking, well, we've got a decent chance of getting 3 points. But if we play the way we can on our day, we can get a win. Just hope we get a positive performance and hopefully a positive result to give us some cheer on Saturday.
Lovely. Do you want to give me a score prediction then, please? What do you think we'll win to start off with?
I'm always hopeful, so I'm going to go for a narrow 1-0 win.
Oh, lovely. Well done, Dave. I'm going to go for a draw. I think it might be 1-1. Pretty uneventful draw. I think it'd be very similar to the Wolves game that we had, where we play well at home and we go ahead and then we just self-destruct and ship in a really stupid goal, because that's what Burnley do.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Miscellaneous stat of the week right now, but we do have the return of everybody's favourite feature. This is where we rate our opposition's celebrity fans. And we are, of course, looking at the six celebrities who are fans of Brighton Hove Albion. Dave, who's made the shortlist this week?
Right, yeah, so six handpicked names, me doing a little bit of research, seeing who I can find, and then being picked apart usually by yourself in terms of the Let's see how this week list goes.
Sometimes justified, Dave. Sometimes justified when you start making things up. That's all.
We shall see. Time will tell. Well, our six are starting with Mark Williams, not the snooker player, but the actor and comedian, age 64. His list of major roles include being a member of the Fast Show team during the 1990s. You may remember his character, Farmer Father Brown. Despite being born in Bromsgrove in the West Midlands, he's lived on the south coast for many years, which is where his love for the Albion came from.
Okay, you can have that one. That feels justified.
Secondly, Norman Cook, musician and DJ. Yes. Although he's born in Kent and raised in Surrey, it wasn't until he attended Brighton Poly as an 18-year-old student that Fatboy Slim, that's now his stage name, got the Brighton bug. He's had hits with the House Martins and Beats International before taking on the superstar DJ mantle on his own. In addition, the record label he was signed to, Skint Records, sponsored the Seagulls for almost a decade from 1999 to 2008, although he claims it wasn't his idea.
Okay. I did know about Fatboy Slim, so that one you also get.
Yep. Next up is Jon Snow, journalist and newsreader, age 76. The former Channel 4 news presenter for over 30 years, from 1989 to 2021, was born in Sussex and is, by his own admission, an armchair follower of his local team rather than an avid visitor to the Amex. Okay. Well, I need to get to him, so he's in there. Next up, perhaps a name you wouldn't recognise, Rory Charles Graham, musician and songwriter, age 39. Born in Eastbourne, Rory first came to our attention in 2016 with his single Human, which he recorded under the stage name of Rag and Bone Man.
Ah.
And recorded two on the UK singles chart. He's since gone on to have two UK number one albums, Human in 2017 and Life by Misadventure in 2021, and another number two single, Giant, with Calvin Harris, I think it was, in 2019. He admits he isn't a die-hard old school fan, but his passion for the club began in 2008 when he was working as a carer looking after an autistic man who was an Albion fan.
Oh, that's a good one. That's an interesting one. I like that one. You can have that as well.
Good. I think the last two are going to be definitely.
You're pulling it out of the bag this week, Dave. I'm not going to lie. I'm liking this.
You're trying to say I don't normally?
Yes.
Okay, two to go. First up, Kieran Maguire, academic, author, and broadcaster in the field of football finance, age 62. Born in London, he attended Brighton, Hove and Sussex Sixth Form College and then Manchester University, but eventually became a lecturer at the University of Liverpool's Sports Business Group. He also co-presents the Price of Football podcast alongside Crystal Palace fan Kevin Day. However, Kieran's loyalties are very much with the Seagulls and he is a season ticket holder. And then last on the list is probably the most notable Brighton fan, Des Lynam, retired sports presenter, age 81. He's someone who'll be familiar to most of our listeners. He started out as a presenter on BBC Radio Brighton in the late 1960s, but is most notable for his time as a BBC TV sports presenter on Grandstand, Sports Night and Match of the Day, among others. Although it's now 20 years since he packed in sports presenting, so maybe some of our younger listeners won't be aware of who he is. That was after the 2004 Euros. He remains one of Britain's sports broadcasting greats.
Indeed. Dave, that's a good list. What did our team, when you put it to them offline prior to recording this evening, what did they make of that list? What kind of scores were we getting?
We had a spread, I think, going from about five. I think we had a rogue five up to about 7.5. That was the spread.
Oh, okay. What are you giving them?
I'd be towards the higher end of that. I think maybe 6.5, 7. I think it's not quite. Obviously, you're not quite getting the range of fans you are for your sort of big London clubs, your Chelseas and your Arsenals and the like. But I think there's a decent selection on that list. And I'd be going 6.5, 7, that sort of area.
I think you're all being very harsh here. I think that's an outstanding list. Fine, it might not have some of the big Hollywood names or the big, like, Judi Dench's of the world, but all six of them are credible in terms of fans. They've not been made up by you. they've not got some weird tenuous link because their train once pulled through Brighton's stadium, so therefore they are a fan, which is what you tend to pull out of the bag when you're struggling a bit for a list. I'm going to up this. I'm going to throw a bit of weight around as moderator of this, and I'm going to give them a 7.5. I think that's a really good list. So I'm going to stay with 7.5 Brighton fans. That is what your celebrity fans get this week. Okay. Dave, a little bit of community news, please.
Yeah, as well as the regular pre-match activities at Burnley Central Library, that's on Grimshaw Street, just across from Burnley Bus Station, the Clarets Collected Project has just launched its BFC and Me photo exhibition, which features photos of fans going to see the Clarets play over the years. They'll be open in the basement, that's downstairs, from 11 a.m. on Saturday morning until 2 p.m. That's an hour before kickoff. So if you have some spare time to spare before Saturday's match, why not pop in to relive some memories of going to the match from years past? It's a totally free event and no booking is required. In terms of the Fantasy Premier League, game week 33 features a full set of matches across Saturday, Sunday and Monday. And ahead of the Newcastle v Spurs match on Saturday lunchtime, the deadline this week will be 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. So remember to make your transfers, tweak your starting lineups and play those chips if you have any left before then. As always, we hope that all your arrows are green this weekend.
Indeed. Green arrows to you all. Ah, there you go. We don't have a video this week, mainly because I am recovering from COVID and I'm most definitely not camera ready. Poor Dave's had to look at my COVID-ravaged face for the whole of this recording. Now, if you could see him, you would see that he's got his green arrows thing that he's pointing up at you. So there you go. That's you have to close your eyes and visualise that, listeners. It's not for camera. That is all we have time for this week. Quite a short update this week, but do please check out the analysis show, which we published a couple of days ago. It's called Self-Destruct and is available through all of your usual podcast providers. And the video equivalent is on our YouTube channel. Do please click those subscribe buttons if you can, so you can turn on your notifications to make sure you don't miss an episode of your favourite Burnley podcast. Might not be your favourite podcast, but I'm telling you that I think it is. Godspeed to everybody turning up to Turf Moor at the weekend to watch the Brighton game. We're going to stick with him through thick or thin. We just need to get to the end of this season now and then all of us reset in the summer, ready for next year. But I hope we do manage to get an enjoyable game and have something to look forward to this season. My thanks as ever go to everybody who has contributed to making this episode. To the main man himself, Dave Statman-Roberts, who puts in an extraordinary amount of time and effort into making this show for you. So I do hope you appreciate him. Thank you, Dave. To producer Matt for editing and publishing this, and for the rest of the Known and Ever team for their input throughout the week and throughout the whole of the season. We will be back after the weekend with an analysis show looking back at that Brighton game, and next week for your all-important preview show. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the Known and Ever podcast. Until next time. The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonanever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.